You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday night at the South Point, it is VSiN's Primetime Action. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, how you doing? Happy day after Thanksgiving. Hope all is well with you. We will talk college football tonight with Chris Velika, actually in just a little while, 15 minutes from now. We'll also do the NFL Week 12 injury report game by game. But first, Matt, some tip-offs and a college football kickoff to come.
While there isn't a Thanksgiving Eve, there is a name for this. This is Black Friday.
Black Friday.
So we can just happy Black. You've spent all of your money today. So we're glad that you're here. We'll try to make some of that money back as we look into the NFL Week 12 here.
Well positioned.
7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, Bulls and the Magic. Bulls are 9.5 to 10-point road favorites over the Magic. 212, 212.5, your total in that one. The Suns and the Knicks are 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Suns are 4, 4.5-point road favorites in that one. Knicks, 213.5 to 214 in that thing. 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Timberwolves and the Hornets. The Hornets are 2 to 2.5-point home favorites, a total of 226.5 in that game. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, the Raptors and the Pacers. Pacers are 4.5 to 5-point home favorites, 209, 209.5, your total. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, Wizards and the Thunder. Wizards are 6 to 6.5-point road favorites, 207.5, 208, the total. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, the Hawks and the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are, actually, you can find both sides of this one as favorites. So be sure and shop around depending on which way you want to go there. Total of 225, 225.5. Celtics and the Spurs. Celtics are 4.5-point road favorites, 214, 214.5, the total. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, got the Pelicans and the Jazz. The Jazz, 13.5-point home favorites there, 218, 218.5. Pelicans got news today that Zion has been cleared to 4-on-4.
Yes, he will.
Like,
no.
The one extra guy, four on four.
He's been cleared to return to normal practice. He has played in 1 4-on-4. So, yeah, now he can go to 5-on-5, man. He graduated today.
9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, the Bucks and the Nuggets. Bucks, 4, 4.5-point road favorites there, 214, 214.5, the total. At 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, Blazers and the Warriors. Warriors are 5.5 to 6-point home favorites there, 224.5 to 225, the total. And then last game of the evening, we've got the Kings and the Lakers at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, 8, 8.5 in favor of the home Lakers, 229, 229.5, the total.
I have a silly question about 4-on-4s, and I mean this truly. 5-on-5s, you play full court. 3-on-3s, you play half court. Which is 4-on-4? Do you go half or full?
I have no idea. I would assume full because you're still trying to.
Well, if he's trying to get back, that would mean half court, right? Because you wouldn't like go 4-on-4.
Yeah, but
full
maybe
court.
That's how you up the conditioning level once more before you go 5-on-5.
I don't think.
I have no idea.
I don't think we have.
Also, what position do you get rid of?
Right, I don't know.
Like, that's the other one, right? A couple injury notes on that one. So that Hawks Grizzlies line, that was bouncing all over the place because Atlanta came out about an hour ago and said that Trae Young and Bogdanovich were going to be game-time decisions, and then just about 10 minutes ago said they're going to play. So that line's been toggling back and forth. And then that Bucks-Nuggets one, Jokic is questionable tonight, so keep your eye out on that one. I actually already have a bet in on the Bucks for that game tonight, but Jokic is questionable for that game later.
Five hockey games actually starting right now, so if you want to get in. Kraken and the Lightning. Don't bet on the Kraken. -185 on the Lightning, +155 on the Kraken. Canucks and the Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets -145. Home favorites +120 on the Canucks. Canadiens and Sabres. This one's a pretty much coin toss, a little bit shaded in favor of the Canadiens. Avalanche and the Stars. Avalanche -125, +105 on the Stars. And the Penguins and Islanders. Penguins -155, road favorites +135 on the Islanders, and just one late hockey game, 10:30, 7:30 Pacific. That's the Maple Leafs and the Sharks. The Leafs are -150 favorites there, +130 on the Sharks.
All right. I'm sneaking into bed here. I'm doing a little Andy McNeil likes the Penguins tonight, by the way. I don't think he likes it at that price, though. I think he likes it a little lower than the, would you quote, -150? there moments ago?
Let's see. Yes. So yeah. It has gotten to minus 150. There is a 145 out there. There is a 145.
All right. If you can find the 145, I think he might be a proponent of that, if you want to get precise about that. There was some NFL news. First of all, are you sufficiently recovered from yesterday's games? Nice job on the second half call on the Bills, by the way. We all cashed on that.
That was
and
a coast
Matt
job.
Matt Breida, baby.
We got a couple. We got a coast job, and then we got a bonus in at the end there, which was really great because they put Matt Breida on ice for a quarter and a half because he missed a block in pass protection, and then he ran the wrong way on a screen pass, and they sat him for a quarter and a half, and I was like, oh, man, this one's dead in the water. And then they gave him a chance there in the fourth quarter. He came through for us, and so that was a nice profitable way to end Turkey Day for us.
I'm going to lose this East Carolina bit. I had East Carolina plus 14 and a half. Cincinnati has just closed the door on East Carolina, so Cincinnati obviously needing a win to stay undefeated and to still be in the college football playoff conversation, they remain intact. They're about to go up. It's 34-13 now, pending an extra point. So Cincinnati will get the win in a game that people thought was dicey for the Bearcats at East Carolina. Turns out, not so dicey after all. Some NFL news today. We missed this last night. The Bills' Tre'Davious White tore his ACL in that ball game.
Yeah, well, we saw that he left the game, but I didn't think it was. I don't think that they thought it was as bad as this for sure. And I mean, listen, if you don't kind of keep up with outside of the skill position players, Trey White's one of the top 10 cover corners in the NFL. So you're talking about a defense that has kind of been the thing that has been the steady. Kind of, I mean, listen, we talked about how up and down this offense has been on the Bills' side, and the one steady unit has been that defensive side of the ball. And you lose a guy like Trey White, that is big, big. So it's not just one of those. It's not always the skill players, Gil. It's not always the skill players. We try to preach that all the time.
Yep. And then also yesterday, Darren Waller, the Raiders' standout Pro Bowl tight end, we saw him go down. He never came back in the game after his injury. Thought the worst about that, and hoped that it would be a good thing, all things considered. And in fact, it is. He suffered just a strained IT band in his knee, sources told Tom Pelissero after his MRI. That's some very good news. That's from Ian Rappaport, actually, in addition to Tom Pelissero. So that's big. Have you ever had a strained IT band? I have. It's not that serious.
You have?
Yeah.
I was going to say, they're just making up injuries at this point. But apparently not. You've had it. You've had it.
Of course I've had it. But I used to run a lot in San Francisco, and I remember there was like a period where the IT band was strained. You just can't do anything, and you just have to let it go away. And, of course, he has the best treatment, so he'll be fine. Matt Nagy saying that Justin Fields has cracked ribs, will start again when healthy. Huh. Justin Fields was going to play next
week. That goes against Jay Glazer's report, or maybe like we were saying, maybe that was going to be the plan, and then they squeak by the Lions, and Nagy is still holding on to the hope that he's going to keep this job.
If he wants to, then Dalton is probably the way to go.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, Dalton is their best path to victory
in any game.
Yeah,
at this point
in their careers, for sure. And I bet you it's one of those things like, oh, we just squeaked by the Lions. I don't know. We better, yeah. It's probably going to get fired, but if I even have a 10% chance of retaining my job.
Right. Best long-term decision, go Justin Fields. Best short-term for Matt Nagy, go with Andy Dalton. Not that we know that for a fact. We're just openly speculating very irresponsibly on the radio. DeAndre Swift yesterday. Left yesterday's game early with the shoulder injury, considered day-to-day. I guess that's some positive injury news because that looked a lot worse. Maybe a broken collarbone or something, but no, day to day. In fact,
yeah, for a winless team, I mean, that's probably going to scrap really hard to get at least one win on the board. It was basically zero chance of Swift's going to miss the rest of the year. So your best player at least is not out for the rest of the year because I'll be honest, I thought for sure it looked like so many of those quarterback injuries where we lose the quarterback because they break their collarbone, they get sacked.
Tell Aaron Rodgers,
they get sacked. The guy lands on them, they're turned kind of sideways, it collapses the collarbone, boom, and that was. And I thought for sure that's what we saw yesterday, but wasn't the case. So good on the Lions because let's see. Vikings, Broncos, Cardinals, Falcons. There it is.
At Falcons.
Week 6. There it is.
Circle it.
That's it. Week 16.
Mark it down.
That's it. That is their Super Bowl. Week 16.
Dan Campbell had called it a shoulder sprain, according to Ian Rappaport, but it looks like he's day-to-day, DeAndre Swift. And then we talked about this a little earlier this week, that very strange and sort of scary episode with Everson Griffin at his home claiming that there was somebody in his home trying to get him with a gun, holding in his hands, brandishing a gun, and everybody defused that situation. Law enforcement was pretty sure that there was nobody else in the home, and there wasn't. The Vikings have placed Everson Griffin, their standout defensive end, on the reserve non-football illness list. So
we kind of assumed this yesterday, that it was probably going to be pretty tough for him to just kind of bounce back from this and go out and play this week. Hopefully he gets the care that he needs with all this. But again, from a betting standpoint, what this does is it makes that Vikings defensive line pretty thin at this point. And so you've seen this, you know, I mean, I think it was probably going to 3.5 anyway, most places. It seems like there's been a lot of support for the 49ers as it is. But yeah, that's a pretty big loss from a football betting standpoint and whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty big loss for the Vikings with the way the 49ers have been playing offense the last couple of weeks. And I can only imagine with the way that the defensive line looks for the Vikings, that's going to continue this week.
And we'll go through all the injuries. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown, for instance, ruled out of the Tampa Bay game. Brown's activating Kareem Hunt. Whole bunch of news to get to game by game as we go through this late week 12. Now, I'll just say this with 31 seconds left in this game. 51 yards to go here for East Carolina. Oh, they're not even trying. They're just running it into the line. I was going to say, if they scored a touchdown here, the miracle, ridiculous two-point conversion for the cover, not so much. That one's going to end probably as is. 35-13. Cincinnati will continue undefeated. Huge college football day tomorrow. Chris Felica joins us next. The Bear from ESPN's College Game Day, Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast, and of course, Daily Wager. Michigan, Ohio State, and so much more. We'll do that next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Draft a killer lineup and hunt down a win with the Gridiron Grudge Match presented by Amazon's Hannah. Play free fantasy football and fight for your share of $5,000. Head to DraftKings.com/PrimeVideoHannah now to get in on the action. Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Gil,
free.
Matt, Kelly, free. Yes,
free
you don't have to do a currency exchange on that. This gentleman is coming to us from a nondescript hotel room in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He is the Bear. He is Chris Felica from ESPN. How you doing, Chris?
Good afternoon. I've been given a very special suite here at said hotel for those watching. I am in room 420, which I gave a nickname to before with you.
Yes.
Share with everybody. Yes. On our air for those who are uninitiated, but no, we're here at Ann Arbor. Winter weather has arrived. It is cool. It's going to be a little breezy, some flurries in the air. But yeah, just enjoying the evening in the hotel room. Got my phone up, got my laptop up, got football up. Figure out what I'm going to do for dinner afterwards, and gear up for Michigan Ohio State tomorrow for the show. And then Kirk and myself get to join Holly and Chris Fowler in Stillwater tomorrow for Bedlam.
Oh my God, what a life you have! That is beautiful.
It's another hour and a shower night on Saturday night. Once I get to the old DoubleTree Cincinnati Airport.
What's it? What is it? A flight and two car rides? What was your statement about everywhere you travel?
Two flights and a drive.
Two flights and a drive.
Stillwater is the ultimate two flights and a drive. I can tell you that.
before you go, I think you told me that once. That it is the ultimate of the two flights and a drive.
Yeah.
Stillwater.
Yes,
so
is.
Before we get to Michigan, Ohio State, and Bedlam between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I know you had Nebraska today. You did have Iowa State. That got home nicely. Yeah. But do you have any choice words for Nebraska? Nebraska was up. This is true. They were up 21-6, and I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I wake up, and I'm like, what happened?
What Nebraska happened. It was what Nebraska has done in the Scott Frost tenure. It's the reason why they're 5-20 in one-score games. The intentional grounding in the end zone, blocked a punt for a touchdown, fumbled it interception going in there to tie the game at the end of the game. It was the tour de force. It was the manifesto of what you would expect Nebraska to have done. And it's what the games that Iowa has won all year. It's the games that Nebraska have not won all year. So it was vintage, perfect Nebraska. And my guy Milt, who wanted everybody to bet an inordinate amount of money on the Nebraska money line. Milt is no longer with us. You follow my Twitter feed, you'll understand the story why Nebraska fan in his obituary said, in lieu of flowers, please make an obscenely irresponsible wager on Nebraska to beat Iowa. I did it for Milt, and I lost, but Iowa State's going to get this all as well.
Milt, one last joke out the door.
Chris, of course, we want your thoughts on the games that are yet to come, but one that just wrapped down here, I do want to get your thoughts because it does play into what we might do moving forward. Cincinnati ends up, I think, with a little bit better of a cosmetic score here than the game than the game played out. What do you see from this team if they were to actually make the Final Four? I mean, this is like double digit dog to anybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at they're either going to be in a 1-4 game against Georgia probably, or a 2-3 game maybe against Ohio State, or you're looking at a double digit dog, but you know that was a dangerous spot for them today. I thought ECU and Ehlers in that offense could give them a game, and then what was it, 21-6, and you blocked the field goal, run it back, and that was a massive swing in the game, and then they punched one in there late to put the score over 3 touchdowns. But no, that was a good win for a team that, against a team that's been playing well, and they avoid the upset trap like so many teams before them haven't. And now you're setting up an American Conference Championship game next week with Houston. And Houston, certainly, I don't expect them to be a pushover. But I almost think Cincinnati is in a position now where they do control their fate. I don't know if a one-loss Big 12 champ is going to jump them. I think that's going to be the big debate potentially. In what, 8 days from now when we're talking, would say the winner of Bedlam tomorrow finish 12-1, win the Big 12, Cincinnati sitting there at 13-0, what do we do? So we'll see what happens over the next week, because we certainly know a couple games still have to be played and things can happen.
All right, Ohio State, Michigan, where you are tomorrow first, then you go to Stillwater, but first in Ann Arbor. I wasn't planning on betting this in the end, but it got to 7 this morning, so I took Ohio State. Now it's sort of settling in at 7.5. Where do you go with this as is?
I hate betting these games just because they're the big marquee games, but my mind kind of got to that point with you where yours got, Gil. I was looking for every reason in the world to want to like Michigan, to maybe expect this line to go hit 9 and maybe take them, but it didn't. It went the other way, and now it's 7, even 7.5. I think Ohio State would still be the side that I play. I mean, people want the rivalry to be there. People would love to see Michigan upset Ohio State and maybe shake things up. But yeah, just looking at the game objectively and rationally, how does Michigan slow their offense down? I mean, Michigan State's offense had a ton of success against Michigan with Walker running the ball. And Trevion Henderson's better, in my opinion, than Kenneth Walker. And Ohio State's got better receivers. There was a rumor out there about C.J. Stroud being sick. He's not. He's fine. He's good to go. So I can get squashed those for anybody who may have heard that. But you just anything can happen. Like, ball can get caught up in the wind, slick field, things could happen. But like if the game's played clean, like you think it would be, Ohio State should win the game by at least 2 touchdowns.
Chris, the other game everyone's going to be really paying attention to, Oklahoma State right now. Oklahoma State, 4.5-point favorites in that one, a total sitting about 49.5 to 50 there. A couple of different questions here. One, just your thoughts on the game in general. And two, we've had some people on the show that think that there's at least an outside chance Oklahoma State ends up in the Final Four when it's all said and done. What do you think about that theory?
I think that we were just talking about that ultimately could be the conversation next Sunday. If the winner of, I don't care if it's Oklahoma, I don't care if it's Oklahoma State, the winner of that game, if they're 12-1, that's a pretty of a Power 5 league. And if you're Oklahoma State, that would be a win over Oklahoma, snapping a losing streak against the Sooners, and 2 wins over Baylor. And your only loss would be a bit of a controversial loss in Ames with a 4th down spot and a back and forth game. So like the Cowboys with that defense certainly have a case to that number 4 ranking. But I think that might be a situation where the name cachet of Oklahoma State might not carry as much weight as it is Oklahoma. So I think Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both would have a chance. It's hard for me to bet Oklahoma State in this game just because they've had so much trouble against the Sooners. While I love their defense and not allowing more than 24 all year long, this is going to be the best offense that they faced all year. And until they do it, I don't know if I can get there. I would play Oklahoma in this spot. Maybe they're a little bit of a public dog. I don't know. But I can't quite get there laying the points yet with Oklahoma State.
Your favorite bets tomorrow then would be what?
My favorite bets tomorrow, Tulsa. I would bet Tulsa plus the points and on the money line against SMU. The cat's out of the – maybe this number is going to drop now. I don't know. The cat's out of the bag with Sonny Dykes going to SMU TCU, rather. We were talking about that earlier this morning on your radio show. This is a Tulsa team that – he's been in games, one-possession games with Cincinnati, one-possession game with Oklahoma State, took Ohio State deep into the third quarter in a game. They've been a great underdog in recent years. They need a win for bowl eligibility. SMU is just a weird situation here. It's going to be a bad weather. They're honoring Eric Dickerson, and the stadium's going to be empty. Bobby Collins, their best head coach in school history, recently passed away. They didn't honor him at all. Dykes is on his way out the door. Like, I don't know. I think it's a terrible spot there for SMU. And I like LSU getting the points at home against Texas A&M. I think they got a good chance to win the game outright. I think their offensive line has done a good job against a lot of the better defensive lines that they have played all year. We know that Nussmeier is not going to burn that red shirt. So this is going to be Mac Johnson's team to game to play. I don't know who else is going to be playing. I don't know who else is going to be sitting, but it's going to be Saturday night in Baton Rouge and one last go round for Ed Orgeron to get those fans riled up. And I think it's going to be a pretty good atmosphere in there. I can see Coach O running off with the double L's into that tunnel like he did. If they give the type of effort that they did in Tuscaloosa a couple of weeks ago, they'll beat Texas A&M because Texas A&M's offense has not played well on the road this year.
Chris, 30 seconds. Who's going to be the coach at LSU?
Bill O'Brien.
Oh. Ooh. Only took him 40 years to honor Eric Dickerson at SMU, Chris. My goodness.
Yeah, only 40 years. Yeah. You got the NCAA deal, but yeah, what an unbelievable player he and Craig and McElhenney and that offense was.
At least Bill can't trade away, you know, he can't trade anything away at LSU. So, like, that's fine. Like, that's good. Unless we don't have to worry about that.
Yes. That is true. He can't GM there. All right, we got to run. Chris, we appreciate that. I fear that I'm going to wish I bet 10x of what I've already been on Notre Dame tomorrow, but that's a whole other conversation for later. I appreciate
it. Go David Shaw.
Thank you, sir. Chris Felica, everybody, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day. Week 12 injury reports next. VSiN's primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prove your fighting spirit this football season in the Modelo Giant Fantasy Challenge. Play for free in this three-part contest series for your shot at up to $9,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/giantprediction to get in on the action. Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. 21 plus only. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com rather for details. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We are giving everyone these opportunities to play these free DFS contests for free money. This is free, everybody. Free. Chance. Just go in and play them. It's free.
Free roll. Chance free. To win. Yeah. Chance to win 9,000.
It's free. Even if you've never even played DFS before, it doesn't even matter. Click some buttons. It's free. Maybe you get lucky, and you next thing you know, you look up, and you have a truck of Modelo outside of your house or whatever it is.
At the very least.
Yeah.
Maybe $9,000. You don't know.
Kelly's beer of choice when he goes to beer.
That's right. Kelly's Las Vegas beer of choice when he goes to beer. That's right. A truck of Modelo. What, talk about a Christmas morning to wake up to. If you just had a whole 18-wheeler truck of beer, it's a good problem to have.
No idea what you guys are talking
about. Do you remember the old, not to get off topic here, but do you remember like the old, it's actually not even old, it's probably like only 3 or 4 years ago, but I forget which car company it was, but it would be like, they would, it would be like this. The wife would wake up and the guy would like go
it's
and
every Christmas
and there'd
commercial.
Be a gigantic like it's, bow on a car.
It's
and
it's Lexus.
Like, I'm like, who does this? No one does this. Like, what is this thing? What is this thing? Yeah. No one wraps a car in the first place anyway.
A, it's Lexus. B, they've been doing
how
this.
How do you sneak in a car? Like, where? How do you, and also, where do, how do you sneak a car into your driveway?
B, they've been doing those commercials every Christmas for the past like 15 years.
This is just, this is obnoxious.
It is like, absurd. Is, I agree.
Yes.
Like, I get angry about
no
it every time.
No one wraps the car.
It.
How do you sneak the car in, like, whenever she, like it's not like she's a child. It's not like, you know, it's, a, it's not like it's a tooth fairy situation where it's like, oh, I'll wait till they go to sleep and I'll slip a five under their pillow. Like, no, like, how do you sneak a car into the driveway? Like, these are, there's so many problems with this commercial.
Can I make a confession?
Yes.
I'd love to know where you get one of those big bows. Are those available
yeah,
anywhere?
Also, that's yeah. the other thing.
Yeah.
Where do you get the supersized bow?
Do you guys have a big bow? No, I mean bigger.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
All right, Kelly. That'll keep him busy
no,
for a while.
It has to be like car, like SUV-sized bow. That's the other thing. Like you could type in big bow, but it needs to be like SUV-sized bow.
And then how do you get it around the vehicle
yeah.
after that?
You can buy it on Amazon right now for $90.
A car-sized bow.
Yeah.
Matt, you can have that delivered to your front door tomorrow
morning. I'm buying one. We're going to have a car-sized bow in this studio for our holiday shows.
Matt, you're getting a new car, right? Just get it for yourself.
He's got one out there already. It's
oh,
beautiful.
You already got it.
It's beautiful.
I already have it, so yeah. I can't. I guess I could put a bow in it for myself.
You can put a bow on it. Put a bow
ever,
on it.
Yeah,
go home. Get the missus outside and be like, I got a big surprise for you. Like, my brand new car.
Cut to a shot of us like at Matt's house. Like, okay, we'll help you put the bow on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. This Friday night sucks.
This is terrible. Tell us what your Saturday is tomorrow, Kelly, once again? Just for those.
I gotta go downtown. I got to hit Four Queens to get more money in my William Hill deposit because William Hill is running a. What's the special again?
Yes, if we bet a just here in Nevada, so we shouldn't say this for the rest of country.
Well, if
so,
you live here in Nevada.
Yes, but if you live here. If you bet $1,000 this weekend, then they'll give you $300 in free bets.
All right.
Which is
spread out over 72 weeks, but still. So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to head on down to the Hotel California and get my Boyd account set up.
So, man. So,
busy Saturday, Gil.
Playa.
Playa. Might even walk over to Circa, grab a drink or two at the bar. Who knows?
You know the other thing about
maybe
this?
Maybe hop on air with Parles.
Here's the deal. Even if you wrap a car, like, it's
we're
not
getting off
outside and doesn't know what it is. It's a car. Like, what are you wrapping it for in the first place? Why are you wrapping it? Like, why are you wrapping a car? It's not like she walks outside and you're like, man, I wonder what's in there.
Then
I have
course,
no idea.
Then, of course, she takes the color that you wanted, that kind of thing.
All that stuff.
She knows
it's a car.
Formulaic Christmas marketing. It's
anyway.
Fantastic. How about the Bengals and the Steelers? Steelers at the Bengals. Early window on Sunday. Remember, three games already in our rear view, so we have fewer games to get through. But 10 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I would take a 10 p.m. That'd be great.
1 p.m. Eastern for the Steelers and the Bengals.
Just keep it going all day long. On the Steelers side of things, their left guard has been ruled out. Tight end Eric Ebron ruled out. Joe Hayden is questionable, but no injury designation at all for T.J. Watt. So he is going to be out there for the Steelers squad and apparently is fully good to go with that one. On the Bengals side of things, no real injury report to talk of there. I mean, Auden Tate's doubtful, but he runs like five routes a game, so it doesn't really matter. So look, I've got the 3.5 in the account for Cincinnati already. This thing went big time in favor of them, and then now has gone back the other direction. So there's been some love here for the Steelers in the last 24 hours. We're back to the 3.5 that we were at, where this thing had gotten all the way to 5. 44.5 is your total here. I guess there's a lot of people who think that getting T.J. Watt, and we mentioned this, that maybe this was going to be a chance for this to come back the other way with the injury reports that came out, and likely to get Joe Hayden back, likely, well, and T.J. Watt is going to play, so maybe people are, you know, buying into that. But here's the thing. Even with Joe Hayden and even with T.J. Watt, over the course of the season, this is still like the number 12, 13, 14 defense in the NFL. Now that's good. It's not like it's bad, but it's not like it's this elite defense we saw last year where, you know, oh, you get TJ Watt back and now this number one unit is back to full strength or something like that. Like, no, it's you get TJ Watt back and it's the number 14 unit is back to full strength.
Right.
You know, so it's one of those type deals where it's I think maybe people are thinking that this is still one of the super elite defenses in the league, where it's really just more like league average, kind of right there, a little bit above league average. Really comes down to what you believe. You know, do you buy into what you saw last week from the Bengals side of things on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, I don't think anybody at this point doubts this offense, right? I mean, like, Joe Burrow did it as a rookie. He's come out as in his second year. He's done it in his second year. He's got three stud wide receivers, and Joe Mixon is having the best year of his career. So I don't think anybody is really questioning the offensive side of the ball for this team. It's, do they believe that this defense is legit or not? Do they believe that this defense over the first, you know, first 5-6 weeks of the season was much, much better than it was over the last 5-6 weeks that we saw? And then they were better coming out of the bye this past week. Now, do we buy into what we saw last week, or do we think that was an aberration? And that's really what it comes down to, I think, with a handicap with this game, because we know one thing we definitely know is the Pittsburgh offense has been leaking oil all season long. It's not been any good. Now we've got this deal with Chase Claypool saying he's playing through a bad case of turf toe, that he says his toe hurts horribly, you know, every single game. So at any point, that thing could get way worse to where he's going to have to leave the game as well. So we know what we've kind of got here, and it's just what do you believe? I believe that the Cincinnati defense is a little bit better than what we saw the past, you know, 4 weeks leading into the bye. I know that the offense is good, and I don't buy into this Pittsburgh offense in the least bit. And so that leads me, you know, that leads me right to where I got to at the 3.5, which I think the number is probably even a little bit short here. Now, I could be proven wrong in this thing, and maybe Cincinnati's defense is back to, you know, back to what we saw in those last month leading into the bye. And if that's the case, then probably won't get there. But that's the for me, I'm buying into what I saw a little bit earlier in the season, and the fact this Pittsburgh offense can't do anything.
All of this leading to our circa or primetime entry later in the night.
Kelly hadn't tipped his hand.
No, he hasn't.
What do we got in that? Is it going to be spicy or?
We got one to decide for sure.
Oh,
just one?
Yeah, just one.
Really?
We had two full consensus plays.
Okay.
Which I don't think either will surprise. We had two voters. And then, so we got a couple. Okay. We got one to figure out for sure.
For those wondering what we're talking about, five picks against the spread each and every week. The three of us have five of our own. We submit them to Kelly. If all three match, it's a pick. If two match, we take a strong rebuttal from the third to remove it from our entry this week. Let's squeeze this in because it's one of three atrocious games in the NFL this weekend. Jets and Texans. Throw out the records when the Jets play the Texans. Texans favored by 2.5.
It is on my card. I went ahead and played it. I have the Jets plus 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't even take the 3. You got the 2.5.
Yeah. I have the Jets plus 2.5. We're looking here because the injury report, well, at least if we believe Robert Saleh, like it went in the direction of the Jets. So he says Corey Davis is going to play. He says CJ Mosley is going to play. He says defensive lineman John Franklin Myers is going to play. And so we've got, it's, everything, at least if you believe what he said, they're all expected to play this week. And if that's the case, then we were asking this when this line first came out. Does the Texans deserve to be favored over anybody in this league? It was a resounding no from us. And now if you do get Corey Davis back out there, which again, according to the head coach, expected to play, it's the first time Zach Wilson, who by the way is going to quarterback this game if you weren't paying attention earlier in the week, Zach Wilson's back under center for this team. He gets a full complement of weapons here, and man for man, outside of actually the quarterback position, which I guess Tyrod Taylor is, you give the edge there. Man for man, this Jets team is just better than the Texans team. I mean, the personnel's better. Every single layer of everything is better, and I'm catching some points here. So it's kind of simple as that when it came to the handicap for me.
All right. We'll continue with the early window, including the Titans and the Patriots. Oh, my goodness. You will want to hear this. And how this line has not moved, I have no idea. We'll talk about that next on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Black Friday offer is still here right now. When you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. It is a limited time offer, though, however. It will end. So sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift for that special sports better in your life at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Our Canadian friend should have acted yesterday. It is now 126.68 Canadian. It was 125.50 something yesterday. So, guys, hop to it. Hop to it. Our dollar went up on Black Friday here.
Come on.
Dollar strong. Yeah.
Don't know what it might be tomorrow.
Yeah, seriously.
Imagine someone landing on the show. They're like, I don't think these guys know what they're talking about.
It's not how that works.
It's not how that works at all. All right, we move on. Early window. Oh, here's another barn burner. Panthers at Dolphins.
Yet another one that I'm on. I'm on the Panthers.
I ended up doing it too.
At two here. On the Panther side of things, just they do have a doubtful, which basically means out. One of their offensive guards, John Miller, is doubtful for them. On the Dolphins side of things, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, but no Devontae Parker, no Will Fuller. Can't get those guys back out on the field. I mean, you look at this Dolphins squad, and I mean, people, for whatever reason, love to hate on Tua Tagovailoa, and he's actually played pretty good this year, all things considered, right? Yeah. I mean, like, he was supposed to have this huge complement of weapons. That hasn't manifested at all season long. And still, like, you know, he's done pretty well. If you go in and look at the advanced statistics and the grades and things like that, like Tua's up there without having Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki all on the field at the same time to go along with, you know, the running backs and stuff like that. So, again, it's can't get those guys out on the field, can't get, you know, multiple weapons out there for him. And with that, this Panthers team's actually getting a whole lot healthier in the secondary. And so this has nothing to do at all with Cam Newton being back under center for the Panthers. I mean, listen, he didn't play bad this past week. He just didn't play good. It was just an average performance, right? I mean, Cam Newton played a league average performance, which is all you can really ask of a dude that hadn't played in a long time, whatever. I imagine he'll be a little bit better this week. Not a ton. I don't expect a ton of progression from him, but you do get one more week in the offense. You do get one more week to try to figure out how you work with Christian McCaffrey, get the ball in his hands a whole lot more. And I'm getting it's less than a field goal here against a team that I just don't think has the firepower at this point to kind of really put very many points on the board at all. I mean, we've seen the Dolphins struggle against just about everybody, right? And so the other pretty big mismatch in this one is this defensive line from Carolina going up against Miami's offensive line. And you look at Miami's offensive line so far this year, and it's their pass block win rate, dead last, 32nd in the league. And if you look at the pass rush win rate for the defensive line for the Panthers, it's fourth overall in the league. And so I think you got Tua, who's going to be under pressure a decent amount in this game. And again, just a lack of firepower, lack of weapons for him. I don't think the Panthers really go out and light up the scoreboard, but they don't have to cover two. So get me a field goal win there, Panthers.
Yeah, it was not one tie added till today, but it's just same thoughts. Like, this defense, I think, should be able to take care of business against the Dolphins. And then more so than Cam, just another week of McCaffrey getting healthier, right? I mean, he had 10 carries, 7 catches last week. That's not up to his normal, really, workload yet. So we should continue to see that, you know, get more and more and more. So, I'm right there with you, man. Not a big bet for me this week. It's still a pretty gross game. But, yeah, I'll lay the two.
And the thing is, just the huge difference here is, I imagine the Dolphins are going to, with the similarities in Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton, like, I imagine there's going to be just an incredible amount of that same defensive strategy. And you mentioned McCaffrey. That's the big difference, right, in this, is like, if they start doing that, it's just going to be dump off to McCaffrey, like, all day long. And McCaffrey gets the ball in his hands in open field with not very many defenders to beat because they're all blitzing and stuff like that. Like, it's just a different scenario than it is in Baltimore, right? Like, having McCaffrey to be able to dump the ball off to compared to what Lamar Jackson has, which is nobody. I mean, you know, we know the story there. They're on their fifth string running back at this point. So It's just a different – I know a lot of people were making that comparison. It's like, well, look what they did to Lamar Jackson. What do you think this they're going to do to Cam Newton? Well, it's a different deal because his safety valve is like, okay, they just blitz and he just lobs it over their head to McCaffrey, and then McCaffrey has two guys to beat before he takes it to the house. So I don't know how much they're going to be able to get away with that.
Dolphins started the year 1-7. They're now 4-7. Panthers started 3-0. They've now lost 6 of 8, but still have a notion to get into the postseason in the NFC. And now the game that probably has certainly one of the most consequential injury reports, if not the single most consequential of all the games this weekend, Titans at the Patriots. Patriots still a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, so Patriots did their thing. You know, the whole team's listed as questionable. Bill Belichick even put himself on the report this week as listed as questionable. But, you know, so of the guys of note, at least, Damian Harris, Hunter Henry, Christian Barmore, Trent Brown, Jonnu Smith, Dont'a Hightower, they were all listed as questionable for the Patriots. So there is that. Again, we did see a surprise Jonnu Smith inactive a couple of weeks ago when he was just listed as questionable or whatever. So, you know, however Bill Belichick kind of goes about all this. The real thing is on the Titans side here, where already, as we all know, no Julio Jones and no Derrick Henry. Now no A.J. Brown. The right guard, Nate Davis, is out. Defensive tackle, Tyre Tart, is out. Linebacker, Rashawn Evans, is out. Linebacker, David Long, is out. That is, by the way, those are all starters. that is a starting defensive tackle, starting linebacker, another starting linebacker that are all out. You have a right guard that's out. You have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones that are out. And here's, I would almost venture to say, not necessarily the same kind of, blueprint as to how this game might end up. But, you know, top two wide receivers out for the Cowboys yesterday. Really struggled on the offensive side of the ball. Like couldn't really get things going there for the majority of the game. Well, at least, I mean, and they still have at least Michael Gallup, right? Like they at least still have Gallup and some other weapons. Like there's just no weapons at all left for the Titans at this point. And so, yeah, I mean, this thing, anywhere that was left at 6.5, all moved to 7 on this. We kind of speculate that maybe it hasn't gone to 7.5 to kind of prevent a massive middle liability that could go on kind of in this one. But yeah, I imagine it's kind of one-way traffic right now as far as money on the Patriots. And certainly the Patriots going to be I cannot imagine the amount of teaser liability they're going to have on the Patriots come Sunday. And listen, rightfully so, right? I mean, like you get this down to where they only have to win the game against this completely depleted team like this. I mean, this is I have them in a money line parlay just because it was earlier in the week and it hadn't gotten that high yet, so it was just a better price for me to play a money line parlay than it was to put them in a teaser. But I'm going to try to find opportunities to get them in additional teasers between now and then. It would be very hard for me to figure out a way that they lose this game with the way that their defense is playing, and honestly, the offense kind of under the radar. They're not asking Matt Jones to do a ton, you know. But during this win streak that they've got going on, they are actually the number one offense in success rate and the number one offense in EPA right now. And so, and that's expected points added. So just over the win streak, it's 5 games, it's small sample size, but the offense is kind of doing kind of under the radar, doing some things as well to go along with the defense that's been getting it done all year long. And you just look, it's, again, we can just look to yesterday with the Cowboys, right? I mean, you've got Dak Prescott, you still have Zeke, you still have Tony Pollard, you've got Gallup. And that offense looked clunky, and now you're looking at a Titans team it's Tannehill, and you don't have anybody at the running back position. Jeremy McNichols, I should add, their pass catching running back is out as well. So it's just gonna, I think it's gonna be real, real tough sledding.
It's sort of like that Cordarrelle Patterson the other night with the Falcons. Like Cordarrelle Patterson, in and of himself, same with A.J. Brown, don't mean a whole lot to anything. But if they're your last
resort
source,
yes,
of offense, then it means a great deal.
Yeah.
And so, and look, you know how much I love the Titans. This is one of these rare, this, I don't know if this has ever happened before. We did an early Megapod this week on the Beating the Book podcast because of Thanksgiving. And I loved the Titans at that point getting 6.5 because I'm like, that's too much of an overreaction. But maybe the A.J. Brown thing was anticipated because now, good Lord, I don't know how, because they're trying to recreate what they had with Derrick Henry in this interim while he's not playing. they're certainly not doing it with a ground game. So they're going to try. They've been trying to do it at least in the short term with a short passing game to wide receivers. If you don't have AJ Brown here, good luck doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And then and then it's not insignificant that your starting nose tackle and two of your starting linebackers are out as well against this Bill Belichick team that, you know, has run the ball pretty well as well. So there's just a it's going to be a rough one, I think, for the Titans.
Yeah. Doesn't set up well for them. Now, if they figure out a way to win this one, oh boy, that would be ridiculous. That would be something for the AFC playoff picture, that's for sure, with the Titans currently with the number one record. But obviously, that is very, very precarious. We'll come back. We'll update all the scores. More injury reports. VSiN's Primetime Action.